Praise the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Maybe I've calmed down since the last time I preached about 2 weeks ago in California. And while I was, the Lord was moving and the anointing was flowing, and I was about this far from the pulpit. And I said, I feel like running. And I come over here, and here come the whole crowd. All 300 of them went round, round, round. We've calmed down a little bit since then, okay? The Lord is good all the time. We're going to talk about some supernatural things. God is a supernatural God. God is in the business of doing supernatural things and has given us the privilege and the rights and authority to cause them to respond with miracles. I like to see miracles, don't you?
Amen.
God responds to the word of faith and action by producing supernatural results. In order to use the blessing and the anointing that is given to us, we must know who we are in Christ Jesus and what belongs unto us. Who we are in Christ Jesus and what belongs unto us. That'll make you start feeling good if you just start thinking about it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the Bible tells us who we are. In Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created man, created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing. That's when God planted his blessing upon man and woman that he made. Amen. Promise to bless them. I'll tell you, he's still a blessing God.
Amen.
Just get ourselves in position to receive. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If the old man passed away, that old human nature, been recreated by the Lord Jesus Christ to become a new species, a new person. Praise God, he's going to live forever and forever. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We have a new father. We have a new brother, Jesus. A lot of folks that used to drink booze, they had a different type of family after they get saved, or any other type of sin. It changes a person when you get created in the likeness of God. We have a new father, a new brother, Jesus, a new family, the church, a new life to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, give you an example. I think I used this once in another sermon. I give you an example of what a Christian and how we can be what we are. There was an Indian left the reservation and he went out hunting and he found an eagle's nest and he got an egg out of that nest and carried it back to camp. He had an old setting prairie hen there and had some eggs under her, so he just put that egg under there with the rest of the eggs. And when the chickens began to hatch out, he hatched out. He didn't know he was an eagle. He thought he was a chicken. Lived all of his life pecking around on the ground when he could have been soaring into heaven. That's the same way with a lot of us believers. I tell you, we are no longer a chicken. Hallelujah. We are eagles, glory to God, in God's sight, to soar into the good things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not old sinners saved by grace. We are the redeemed of the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody say, I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. How about that?
Amen.
I can sing good, yeah? Don't you like that? I thought you would. We're not old sinners saved by grace. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That puts us up there pretty close to Jesus, doesn't it? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you some of the things we are now. In Galatians 4 in the Living Bible, we are no longer sinners, but God's sons, and everything he has belongs to us. For this is the way God planned it. Everything. This is the way God planned it. He has given us authority and given us the right to possess them. God's word, the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost gives us the authority to be overcomers and live a victorious Christian life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm a changed person since Jesus came into my heart. Now, authority is a knowing, it's an assurance, a confidence that what we say and do and act on will be backed up by the promises of God. There's power in the Word of God to do what it says that it will do. Authority is not power. It puts power to work. Brother Hagin used this illustration when he was alive, and it's a good illustration. He said a policeman, when he's wearing his uniform and got his badge on, he can walk out on in the freeway right out among the traffic, raise up his hand, and then brakes, they throw the brakes on. Time to stop. Now, he doesn't have the power to stop them, but he's got some power to back him up. Amen. Amen. So don't try to go over. He'll just be egregious about himself. But I tell you, they'll sure get after you. The whole United States would be behind that police officer. So we have authority. Amen. We have authority, too. We are given authority to use the name of Jesus, and heaven will back it up. Mark 16, Jesus gives us the rights, he gives us authority, and commands us believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, it just amazes me and thrills me when I notice some on TV and otherwise that's carrying the gospel around the world. Some of them got TV stations all in every continent, most every country in the world today. That's a sign Jesus is coming. Amen. That's a sign Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized, and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believers in my name. They'll cast out devils. Glory to God. How long have you been to cast out devils? Believers have the authority to deal with those things, thoughts and things that come to your heart and into your mind. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Thank God for that. I wouldn't be up here right now if I didn't speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and maybe they'll recover, and maybe they won't. Did I read that wrong? Hallelujah. So after Jesus had quit talking to him and speaking to him, he said he was caught up into the heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father. And they said the people that heard him, they went everywhere telling the good news, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs following, with supernatural working power of God. I'll tell you, there's power when the word of God is preached to do mighty, wonderful things. He sent his word and healed him. He sent his word to heal us. He sent his word to bless us. We have something powerful that's on our side. And they shall preach, and they will preach everywhere, and the Lord supernaturally conforming the word with signs following. I tell you, when God does something supernaturally, it just does something special for you. Whether it's a little something or maybe something big, if God had his hands in it, it's something wonderful. We have a command and have been given the authority to finish the works that spread the gospel throughout all the world. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemies, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I'm trying to get in that place. There's a place, nothing can hurt you. Amen. Amen. We have authority over burdens and yokes and cares and lack and sickness and depression. These things are for us, the church, the believers. We have the right to believe and to receive everything that Jesus accomplished for us at Calvary, and to get back the things that Satan and sin has stolen from us. We've come a long way from Genesis chapter 1, and we're coming back closer to it at the end of the day. I tell you, revival will begin to sweep the earth. I believe God's going to really move one of these days for long like we haven't seen him before. I mean in a supernatural way. Supernatural way. Glory to God. Just before he comes to take us home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 5. Jesus gives us authority to anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith over them. The results, the Lord will raise them up. Authority and great faith go together. Amen. We got a job to do. We got a job to do. We always say, well, leave it to somebody else. No, the believer. If you believe in healing, laying hands on the sick, you'll be laying hands on the sick. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you got a good word to give somebody, you need to give it to them. Just the other day, I was in the And I was in Bromley and I were and had a hamburger and so forth. I came in a black man, I guess he was 55, 60 years old, had a few gray hair. And I could tell something was wrong with him. He just looked so worried and so tired and all. And so I just slipped over there and just talked to him a little bit. And I said, you know, Jesus loves you. He knows what your problem is. He can help you. I said, well, tonight, before you go to sleep, just kneel down by your bed and talk to the Lord and ask him to come into your life and tell him about your problem. He's interested in him. You know, his face lit up. Glory to God, began to shine because he knew somebody cared. Somebody loved him. That was Jesus. Thank you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Jesus gives us authority to anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Mark 11, chapter and verse 22. Jesus gives the authority to speak to the mountain and say, that be removed and cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. That's real strong. You got to be bold to do that. I'm getting a little bolder than I used to be after preaching for 62 years. I'm kind of getting a little bit bolder in it. I've been around a lot of people and had the privilege of doing it that had boldness and got miracles done. And back in the 50s and in the early 60s, had a man named Jack Coe, great big man, but he had a real ministry of supernatural and miracles. Me and Lou went to his meeting, and we saw what happened. He had a big tent of 10,000 people. And all around that tent, I can just near see it in mine right now, can't you? They had crutches and canes and all things to help invalids just all the way around that trouble. When they got healed, they just left the apparatuses and went on healed and well. Good things happened. He had boldness. One time we was there, and this was a big church. We always like to sit up close. We always get the first, second row because you can see a whole lot better. And he was going to pray for people that wearing glasses. If you want to get rid of glasses, you believe for it, just line up. We prayed for them. They came up there and had a big old microphone about this big old stand several years ago. And he said, him have any glasses? He took them glasses and said, you believe God's going to heal you and you don't need these glasses anymore? Yes, sir, I believe it. And he whoop, broke them right there. Now the next in the same way, the line got shorter and shorter. But that's boldness. Amen. Makes you think, doesn't it? Eh? Think. I've been very fortunate to be in some of the big tent meetings, healing meetings in the days gone by, especially Oral Roberts. We went to all of his we could go to. But now we saw some wonderful things. Now, this here part of this was way back there while I was still building houses and preaching a little and long. I never had started a church yet. And she had to go at about 5 o'clock. Y'all listen to me. She'd go about 5 o'clock, and it was hot in July, and she'd get us seats, and she'd get two. So we were two on the second row of that tent. There were 10,000 people. And I worked till quitting time, went home, got by to eat, and met her out there by the time he started preaching. Said, Dad, to say this, we'll get up close, we'll see what's going on. One man came up, and he had big risings, boils all across his neck right there, and it was real red. I knew what that was because I still got some scars when I was a young man. I had the same thing on my neck. And Brother Roberts looked at him, took his hand, and slapped him on the line. I jumped. But he just rubbed that a little bit. Now, I'm telling you the truth. When he took his hand off, his neck was just normal. Praise God. Supernatural things. God's still doing supernatural things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Oral Roberts is gone, but there's still so many mighty men of God. Thank you, Jesus. We've had some in our home. Mighty men of God. Spent the nights with us. I got one man down in East Texas. He's was there. Now, I don't hardly ever speak and prophesy over people, but I did over him. I prophesied over him that the spirit of Oral Roberts is going to come upon him, at least part of that spirit. And now he's a thriving man, doing good, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Amen. Miracles, 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 miracles. Be strong. We can go on with that, but we'll not go any farther. We have a right to call those things that are not as though they were. Be bold in doing it. The eagle hatched out among the prairie chickens, didn't know he was an eagle, didn't know he could fly, didn't know he could soar into the heavens, didn't know that he was born to be the greatest among the fowls of the air. He didn't know that. I didn't know that when I come to the Lord. I didn't know I had all these things till I'm trying to get a hold of them still. Hallelujah. That eagle, he didn't know who he was. Amen. But we're somebody important in the eyes of God. We're keeping the world going right now. Wasn't for the Christian. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't know who he was. There the angel came before to Gideon. Gideon was just an ordinary man. He was thrashing some wheat a little bit out behind the barn because the enemies had come and destroying his crops, and he tried to save a little bit of it. An angel appeared to him and said, "Thou mighty man of valor, thou mighty man of strength, of power, of authority, of judgment, thou mighty man." He turned around and said, "Who, me?" He didn't know he was all those things. You know, he became all those things. He delivered the Israelites from the enemy. He became judge over all of Israel, became a mighty man, a mighty warrior. He had it all time, but he didn't know it. Glory to God. Excuse me. Hallelujah. I didn't know that I'd ever preach. Amen. Little rut there at Elbow, little bitty town. Amen. I didn't know that I'd ever preach. So bashful. Before we got married, she asked me, I didn't ask her. But you can get over some things. You just put your mind to it. Set your mind to it. So I didn't know that I'd be a preacher and preach for. This would be 62 years. Yours after 62 years, or I'd do better than you're doing tonight. No, I'm doing pretty good. My wife's going to happen in a minute. Many believers don't know that they are born again, children of God. They have a right to the promises of God and soar into the things of God. Be mighty men and women of prayer, minister, whatever God lays upon your heart for you to do. Now I'm going to give you, for just briefly here, I'm going to give you some supernatural things in the Bible. One of them was Joshua. Now Joshua, he was in the battle with the enemy. He was losing the battle. He cried out to God and said, "Sun, stand still. Moon, stand still." The Bible said it stood that way for about a whole day so he could win the battle. And the hailstones out of heaven killed more of the soldiers than Joshua and all his men with the sword. Miracle, miracle. We've seen some of that happen in our generation about Israel. Now some of the wars they've had, and man, they just beat them every time. You can't beat God if God's on your side. You can't beat. You got to have God on your side. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to, but I won't say that. Yeah, we'll too. We need to pray about our election. Amen. Need to pray about our election. We haven't got much work on either place. Sorry I made you mad. I believe the church would pray. I believe the anointing of the Lord could come on them more, just like it did on Gideon, and become mighty president of the United States and help get us out of all this mess that we're in, and the church will cause it. The bias not going to do it. It's going to take the people of God to putting our faith out and believing God to do some mighty things. Amen. God can bring fire down from heaven if he wants to. Thank you, Jesus. Moses. He was at the Red Sea, had all the Israelites on their way to the Canaan land, and they got up right up to the sea, and behind them came Pharaoh and all of his army. What you going to do? You need God. Some of us getting tight sometime. I tell you, we need God. There's something behind us and something in front of us, and we don't know where to go. What you going to do? He said to the people, "Be still and see the glory of the Lord." And he stretched out the rod, and the water parted one way and parted the other way, and they all went across. Glory be to God. Amen. Did you know miracles pleases God? God gets thrilled every time we talk about miracles that he's done. Can you think of the time he's been blessed because people preached on the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? God enjoys it. God says that it blesses him. It blesses him when we remind him of the thing that he's done for us. Amen. We've had a few in our lives, and she'll give you them in a little bit. Elijah, he was on his way to be taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. He came to the River Jordan. There wasn't a bridge there. There wasn't a boat there. He needed to get on the other side, raptured territory. What's he going to do? He took his mantle as anointing. He took his mantle. Oh, he smote the water, and he smote the water, and they parted. And he went across in ankle-deep mud to the all the way to the other side. Dry shot. I tell you, God does something, he finishes his job. Amen. Can you imagine that? Dry, sandy, had to brush the sand off and they got on the other side. God does a miracle. It's something undeniable. We can't figure it out. We just have to believe for it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it worked for anybody. Along came Elisha, his servant. He had come back. He came to the same river, going a different direction. He smote the water and divided for him. Hallelujah. What somebody else has done, maybe somebody out here can do the same thing. Don't count yourself a little nobody. You're a somebody. God loves you, and God got things for us to do. Amen. Peter and John, they took authority over what the rights they had when there was a lame man sitting at the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold have we none, and don't carry any of them with us. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I grabbed him up. I might trip you. Hallelujah. I did that years ago in the California, and I had a sophisticated woman sitting on the seat. I didn't know about this. And I got her like that and got her by the hand like that. Jumped her up out of the way and just carried her around on the room like that. I asked that preacher that later I left her, is she still in your church? Oh, yeah, she's just doing real fine. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. David faced Goliath and took authority over him in the name of the Lord God of Israel. That's the way you do it. It's not in our name. It's not who we are. It's who he is and what he's made out of us. Like ourselves, he gives us authority to do these mighty miracles for his glory. Let me give you some examples now. And this is a main part of our mercy message. I want you to get them. Years ago, we had a children's church pastor, Odell Mickey Stewart. Oh, man, nobody's hearing that. Odell Mickey Stewart. And they were on their vacation, is in the car, and they're going to Florida, and they got about in the desert in New Mexico and ran out of gas. What you going to do when you run out of gas in the middle of the desert? Wife and two kids with him. What you going to do? Well, you knew that couple. You know what they're going to do? They started praying. And turned the starter on the thing, started and moved on down to the next town. Well, now, I don't know whether I believe that or not. You just might as well close your ears because you won't believe the next one either. This is something we've seen and know about. People that tell the truth about it. Jerry Savelle, good friend of mine, most of you know him. Some years ago, he was coming from Oklahoma City to Fort Worth, and he ran over something in the middle of the road and knocked a hole in the gas tank, and gas all ran out just a bit. But he made it to a little service station, a little old bitty town there, and there's a service station there, and drove up there, and the man came out, fixed his tank, put the gas in it. Wouldn't even take no money for it. He came on home. A couple of months later, Jerry's coming down the road the same way, and he said, I believe I'll stop by that filling station. I'm going to bless that man. I'm going to give him something for doing that for me. When he got there and looked, it closed up. He went next door to the little place there and said, when did that close up? He said, that thing's been closed up for years. Angels can do the work of God. Supernatural things. I tell you, nothing's impossible with God. Amen. Now, I know that's so. Know that's so. I want to have Lou hit me now. Get your mic.
This is kind of dangerous.
Dave Henson. You tell about Dave Henson.
We had a lady in our church named, her name was Daisy Henson. The whole family was there. We were in a ladies' meeting one day. We were talking about miracles and what we'd seen God do and the wonderful things that God had done. And Daisy said, "I can beat that." And I said, "Well, what? Tell us what's in your life that's so outstanding that happened in your life." And she said, "When I was young, my daddy was an alcoholic, and he'd taken us up into the mountains into a cabin and left us there. And it came a snowstorm, and our food was gone. Just almost completely gone. I stretched it as far as I could." And so she said, my mother was a real prayer warrior. And so that night she began to pray. And we kids had gone to bed, but I could hear her. And so I got up where I could see her. And she was dancing all over that room, just about that far over the floor. And so when the next morning she said, "There'll be food today, there'll be food today." And it had come a snowstorm, and it was really bad outside. And after a while, something knocked on the door, and the door came open. And a hand came in with two rabbits skinned and ready to cook. She ran and got them and put them back on the counter somewhere and went back to see to thank whoever brought them. And when she got to the door, there was nobody there, and there was not a footprint in the snow. But she said, "The angels brought the food, and that was the best rabbit I ever ate in my lifetime."
Amen. Now, some years ago, before I started pastoring, we supplied pastor for a little town way down in Weargate in East Texas for about 6 months, and tell you about the miracle of the coat.
You know, this was Janet's first year in school, to be her first year in school. And Harold had made good money, and I had fun spending it, so I was going to send her in school in style that year. I was going to buy her all new clothes, and they were going to be the latest of everything, and I was going to really send her school in style. She was so pretty, and I was so proud of her. And so about that time, all this happened to us to go to East Texas. We got down there, and we were just going to stay for a weekend, and we stayed for 3 or 4 months. I don't remember how. 6 months. And school started, and it got cold. She had a little sweater that was too short for her. And I said, "I'm going to town and buy Janet a coat." And Brother Nichols said, "Oh, no, you're not." I said, "Honey, she has to have a coat." He said, "Well, God will supply the coat." And I said, "I know he will, and he can use me to do it. So I've got a checkbook, and I'm going to town." And he said, "Honey, now listen, we promised God and one another when we came down here that we were going to live on whatever they gave us. We were not going to take, we had money, of course, in the bank. We said, we're not going to use any of it. We're going to live on what they give us." And I'll tell you, we got such hard of black-eyed peas that the dog wouldn't even eat them. I tell you, got in bed a few times. Well, what am I going to do about her coat? I mean, if I ever prayed in faith in my lifetime, I did that because it was really getting cold, and that little sweater was too short anyway on her little arms. And so one day I was praying and crying and telling the Lord how bad it was and how I needed him, and all of a sudden the joy of the Lord came on me, and I just started praising the Lord. I ran all over that house just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for Janet a coat. And so late in the afternoon, a lady came up to the house carrying a box, and so she said, "Now, Sister Nichols, I know you have always had not been used to nice things, but the Lord told me to bring this to you. It's not anything you'd buy, but it's what the Lord told me to do." And I said, "Well, give it to me." And she gave me that box, and I opened it. There was a coat. Well, it wasn't a very pretty coat, that's true, as far as the quality of the material and all that was concerned. But I didn't look at that. I didn't even think about that. I just grabbed it, and I looked at it, and I thought that'll just about fit her. And I was so excited. When she came home from school, I said, "Janet, look what the Lord supplied for you today. A lady brought me this coat to give to you. And she grabbed it and put it on, and it fit her just perfect. She ran over the house praising the Lord for that coat and thanking the Lord for it. And when we came home from down there, finally, I could have bought her the finest coat that Fort Worth had, but I didn't do it. She wore that coat the rest of that year because God supplied it. And I thanked the Lord for it, and so did she thank the Lord for it. That was a real miracle in our lives at that time.
Amen. You want to tell about when Jenny had polio?
Well, we hadn't been preaching.
What polio was? It was,
I don't remember what the year was. Some of you might remember when polio was so bad in Fort Worth. I guess it was everywhere. One entire floor at St. Joseph, at the Methodist Hospital there was polio patients. The whole floor was just polio patients. And it was bad. It was really bad. And so Jenny came down with polio. And so she could, after when we got where we could bring her home, she couldn't, I forgot which foot it was, she couldn't do it like this. She drug that foot. And her neck was so stiff that she couldn't do like this. She couldn't bring her chin down like that. Harold said, he got so mad at the devil, he said, "Now I've just started preaching faith, and devil, you're not going to cripple my daughter. I want you to know you're not going to cripple her. She's going to be strong and well and whole." And we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. We thank the Lord. And, of course, you know, I took to the doctor. Well, they put her in the hospital for a while, and then they finally let me come bring her home. And she taught me how to give her therapy so she'd get better. And he said, "She'll eventually get to where she can pick that foot up and do like this." I believe she will. But anyway, she'll get better. So they showed me how to do it. And I did that for a few days, and it just hurt me every time I did it. I said, "Lord, this is not right. This is not right." Harold, I began to pray and believe God. And I talked to her, and I said, "Janet, now we'll have to take you to the doctor." Well, anyway, the Lord impressed me that if I really believed that she was healed, then I didn't have to give her any more therapy. I felt like the Lord told me that. So I stopped the therapy. When it was time to take her back for a checkup, I said, "Now, Janet, you let me do the talking. I'm not going to tell any story, but I don't have to tell all I know either. So you don't say anything. Let me talk to the doctor." "Okay, Mother." So he checked her and he said, "You've done such a great job." He said, "I think I better hire you. She's just well. I don't think you have to bring her back for any more therapy. Her foot and ankle works just like it's supposed to. So just know she's all right." And I said, "Okay, I thank you for it. I praise the Lord for it." So see, we had a miracle. It was a real miracle that quick that her foot was completely normal. She could just do it like this. Praise the Lord.
Years ago, we had a missionary, Dr. Percy Collett. He was a medical missionary as well as other kind. And the first time he came to our church, he had a hair was brown and had a full head of hair. And bald headed. And anyhow, he went back to Brazil where he was, Brazil, Amazon Basin. And he said those Indians didn't like my bald head. So he got some mud, put it on my head, prayed over me, and then the next time I saw him, I tell you, he had a good head of hair. Now that he told me that to be the truth. I said, "Well, next time you come, would you please bring me some mud?" But he didn't do it. Amen. Well, we're time about to run out here. Tell about Holly and the Mumps coming short.
Okay, all of our married life, he dreaded the mumps. He didn't want to have the mumps. And if anybody, he'd visit anybody at the church, I don't care what they had, but the mumps, he would not go. He couldn't take them. And so when Holly was just a little girl, she brought the mumps home. She slept that night with Carmen and Carla. And then we took her home. Other folks were going on a vacation. And so we wanted, she we wanted to keep her spend the night with us that last night before they went before the up in Colorado. They were going on a camping trip with his mother and daddy. And her, and the next morning we got up and she had a fever, and her neck was just swollen all around real bad, and she had a fever. And I said, Janet, I'll keep her. You just go and have a good time. I'll take good care of her. And I won't take her to the doctor, David did. They'd gotten hold of this healing, and they were radical, I thought, at the end, and so they weren't going to take her to the doctor. I said, I won't take her to the doctor, but I'll keep her here and take good care of her. You're not going, I don't want you to take her camping with her with a fever and with the mumps. And so anyway, make a long story short, they took her anyway. And the next morning when they got up, all the mumps was gone. It was a miracle. She's not swollen anymore.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't remember the rest of it. Oh, yeah. Brother Nichols got her mumps. Got the mumps from her.
Would y'all leave me out of the sermon, please?
And I was inclusive and vouch for this.
I'm going to give you this, which is about me. About 2 years ago on a Wednesday night, I got a bad hurting right here in my stomach. I went out to the car. And who was you driving? Daughter was driving down there. And they've got to go to the hospital. Said, no, if I get, just get me home and I get in bed, I'll be fine. Everything will be all right. But it didn't get fine. It kept worse and worse. So they took me. I called them. They come, got me and took me to the emergency room. They went on some tests and all that. And said they had to have the surgeon to come by and check me. He did. Then the next morning, the surgeon came and he said it was to set up a time for the surgery. He said, sometime I can just not know how to do it and I can rub that and I can take care of that. And what it was I had a hernia, but still there was the intestines wrapped around it. And so it really was bad. So the next morning, that night, I went to sleep pretty good.
Well, Janet, David came right that night and prayed for him.
They prayed for me. And that's my son-in-law and my older daughter. They came and prayed for me. The next morning when the doctor came, he felt. And said, something happened to it, it's gone. I never had another pain, hadn't since. Now, God can do some things, you know, right within our midst, because these women was praying for me and I was hurting bad. Edwin Stump, tell that, and then we've got to close it up.
Okay. Edwin Stump was, some of you might remember Edwin Stump.
Listen to this one.
He was our music director and led our worship and all that. He had a heart attack, and he was bad. And we prayed and believed God, and he got to the hospital, and the next day they said he was out of danger. He was just going to be fine, and so we praised the Lord for it. Well, about noon, sometime early that morning, the doctor called me and he said, Lou, you got to pray. Get the church to pray for Edwin. He's near dead than he's alive. He's had a bad turn for the worst. And I've done all I can do for him. And if you don't pray, he's not going to be here long. Well, we didn't have church that morning. We called the whole church together to the altar to pray. And every time anybody would come into church, I met him at the door and I said, go to pray. Edwin's worse, and so got to pray. So we didn't have church that morning. We had a prayer meeting all morning long. And so then later in the afternoon, he called and said, well, he's out of danger now. He's going to be fine. God answered our prayer, and I just thanked the Lord for it. He really did.
Amen. Ralph Needle, stand up. And Ralph's been with us ever since the beginning. You know about all these things. When he was there when it was happening. Right? Amen. Thank
you. How long are you still in the bathroom? I want to tell you how faithful they were. They thought that we didn't have anybody else in the church that was a preacher or anybody to call on. So Brother Nichols got the mumps. And did he ever have the mumps? He was just swollen out here like this. He looked like that. He couldn't possibly live. I've never seen anything. I had a two-year-old, and she got them. And so Lou called me and said, I've got the mumps too. We're so sick. And that was Saturday. And I said, well, I'll be over. Melody's got them, but she's not very sick. So I'll be over. And so, but that night, on Saturday night, Brother Nichols was so bad, we called an ambulance. We thought he was going to die. And Ralph's mother come over there, and she was a real intercessor. And we called the ambulance, and so Louise Nealon came over there, and she started praying for him. And he said, go call the ambulance and tell them not to come. I'm just fine. I'm not hurting a bit. He said, I believe they're going down. And we looked, and we thought they were too, but they wasn't gone down enough for him to preach Sunday. So he said, Lou, what in the world are we going to do? We got to have church. We can't call off church. And Lou said, well, I'll go preach. And I said, Lou, you've got the mumps. And she said, I've got a real high neck sweater, and I can wear that, and I'll preach. And that she did.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And the thing about it was, that made it so bad for me was that after church that night, after we finally we got both the services over, well, it started misting rain just a little bit. And so I had to lock up, of course. And so I got everybody out of the church as quick as I could and stood out there till finally everybody quit talking and left. And I locked the door and went home. And my hair was all damp when I got home. That's how much it rained. And I knew I had the mumps, but I turned my collar up like this, you know, so nobody would know it. And so it was, but anyway, God took care of me. I went on home, nodded, but I did get really sick. They really did because of that. My breast swelled, and I mean, I was really, really in bad shape. We had people to come from the church round the clock for several weeks and take care of us because we were all four, Janet and David and Harold and I all had the mumps at the same time, and we were sick. That was before Carmen's time.
Janet White.
Who did I say?
Janet. David.
Well, anyway, it was the first two. It was Wayne and Janet then. That's who it was. That's the one. Okay. God's been good to us.
Yeah.
We've done some foolish things. That's true. It was so foolish for me to stand out there that Sunday night and wait till everybody finally went home and lock off the church and go home when I knew that I had the mumps and it was sprinkling rain a little bit. But that, you know, the church, listen, let me tell you something. The church was the most important thing in our life. And anything, you know, sometimes I want Carmen to do something and she can't do it because they got a church. You know, I thought, well, you could skip a service every once in a while. But I won't tell her that. And because I know she isn't going to skip a church for me, I would have skipped it for her. So I don't expect her to. I trained her like that, to put the church first. No, I trained her to put her husband first and then the church. And she puts him first till this day, and I'm glad she does. She takes good care of you, Mom.
30 more seconds.
Here, Pastor. We sure have had fun at that. I hope you all have had fun too.
This is about a 100-fold return. Jen and David, that's our son-in-law, and they were lived about a block and a half from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at that time. In winter was beginning, that bell was coming in, and they looked, and Brother Copeland didn't have any wood for the fireplace, so they went back to the house. Both of them got an armload of wood, carried it there to Brother Copeland so he could build a fire in the fireplace. What do you say that for? Well, that's been 44 years ago, and they haven't had to buy a stick of wood since. They already got enough for this winter. 100-fold return, just with a little bit of wood, to bless a man of God. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This is the last one. My wife, you can come up here if you want to. My wife had a garter. Oh, you don't. Yeah, I guess you might be saved. My wife had a garter, and it was showing out right here, you know. And we'd prayed about it and done several things for it. But Brother Copeland was in a prayer meeting with us one morning, just about 30 people there, and he prayed for that quarter. You know what happened? That thing just, he said, swallow it. And she swallowed it and hadn't had another symptom since.
Well, he grabbed my throat like this and he said, swallow it, Lou. I said, swallow it. And I couldn't hardly talk. He kept on saying, I said, swallow that thing. And I swallowed it finally and it was gone. I had never had it since. We've sure had fun.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. How many of you have had a miracle in your life?
Amen.
Wow. And people think God doesn't do miracles. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking here on the front rows, there's a whole bunch of miracles that God has done. We serve a miracle-working God.
Amen.
We just need to believe Him more and trust Him more. Amen. Expect God to move and work in our lives. You know, the world needs to see. There's always going to be people that don't believe. Don't let it bother you. They didn't believe when Jesus was doing miracles. Some believed and some didn't. Some of them watched Him do the miracles and yet they didn't believe. It's the same way in our day, in our time.
Yeah.
There can be obvious miracles and you think it can't be denied, yet people will. I just want to encourage you. Believe God for miracles and testify. Tell about all the good things that God does.
Amen.
You know, don't be afraid to pray for other people and you know, a lot of times, by the way, sometimes those people that are not very spiritual, they can receive a miracle faster than some old Pharisee, I'm just telling you. So don't be afraid to pray for them and encourage them and believe God with them, because God will move. I'm going to preach. Well, we'll just quit, all right?
Amen.
So,
you can do it.
You finish this on Sunday morning.
Well, stand with me. And we're just going to close out the service this way. If you need prayer tonight, I just know the Nichols would be glad to pray with you. And I sure would be glad to pray with you. Others will pray with you. And if you want to pray about a miracle, whatever it might be, if you need prayer tonight, as we end this service, I encourage you to come. I'm going to pray over you. And then after we pray, if you want prayer, you come on down. Father, I just thank You for the word we've heard tonight. And I thank You, Lord, the Spirit of God is moving and working in Your people. And Lord, as we go out in this world, Lord, we are ready, Lord, to be used by You. And Lord, we just ask that You would move and work in our lives and that You be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, bless
amen.
You.